Welcome to the This Week in Rays Baseball podcast.
Coming up today, we have games and results to talk about. Mark Topkin will look back at the week that was, plus interviews with Luke Maley, Ryan Brett, and Joey Butler.
This is Rays Radio. Now here's your host, Neil Solons.
Thanks for joining us this Tuesday, March 10th. We're five games in. It's been a busy week, so let's look back and forward with someone who follows all of it in spring training.
Time now to head up to the press box.
We continue our This Week in Rays Baseball podcast, and joining us now, Mark Topkin of the Tampa Bay Times. Boy, it sure has been an eventful week, Mark, and we start with the Rays pitching staff, and I guess you touched on it in Monday's Times that Drew Smyly's injury is somewhat of a concern right now.
Absolutely, Neil. I mean, when you look at it, you have a guy that, you know, was shut down at the end of last year because the Rays were concerned about his workload. He had a very disruptive offseason this year, missed, you know, somewhere in the 4 to 6 week range of not throwing with a finger injury that shut him down from mid-December into late January. And then, you know, he admits now after the fact that, you know, he tried to hurry up to get caught up a little bit and is sidelined by shoulder tendonitis. So, you know, obviously not a routine path. He was planning to be on a little bit of his own program anyway rather than the Rays program as far as throwing to begin with. So just a kind of a convergence of events here. But the bottom line is, with opening day less than 4 weeks away, Drew Smyly is not throwing a baseball right now. And if you just break it down that simply, that has to be a concern.
Certainly. I think if there is one positive in all this is the fact that the Rays do have an off day after the first series, so they could essentially shuffle the rotation around and he could join them for the second series if he's not ready for the first. But he certainly has to show some progress over these next few weeks.
Absolutely. And you know, I think, you know, just reading between the lines a little bit and the cautionary statements that you're hearing Kevin Cash throw out and things like that makes me, you know, think they are going to hesitate a little bit, not push him. You know, it is obviously the six-month season, and if he misses the first couple weeks, that would be fine. You know, but you do wonder, you know, just where Drew Smyly is on this too. I mean, he was a little reluctant in talking about it the other day and then, you know, kind of finally explained what happened. And, you know, I just don't know. I'll be curious to see how quickly he gets caught up and where he is program-wise. If the Rays, you know, kind of put him back to where a guy would be, he hadn't, you know, pitched in a game yet, so he's starting at least a couple turns behind, I would think.
Speaking of a couple weeks behind, Alex Colome, I guess, is he behind? Is he not? He tweeted yesterday he's en route to Florida, and today he could be back on the field in some capacity. So how far behind is he?
Yeah, you know, that's interesting because, you know, I would assume that he is behind just because he hasn't been here working out with the major league guys at that level. Kevin Cash did tell us on Monday that Alex Colome was throwing to hitters in the Dominican before the Rays pitchers here were throwing to hitters. Now, obviously, they're going to be younger hitters, not as, you know, sophisticated, but, you know, batting practice is batting practice. So if that's the case, Alex Colome may come in and not be behind, you know, maybe one batting practice or two and then throw a game. So he might have only missed one turn or possibly two. But, you know, I still think you have to look at that. You know, again, it was a guy that already was going to be in transition. The Rays hadn't decided, is he going to be a reliever? Is he going to be a starter? Now, with Smyly's status uncertain, I would think they would definitely push toward Colome being a starter. But that's obviously going to require a longer lengthening out process as well.
And it also may impact as you weekly kind of update the roster situation, who's in the bullpen. Because if the Rays have to start the season with Carnes and Colome, they may look for somebody of more length in their bullpen so they can get more innings out of their pen.
Yeah, and you know, that could be a guy like Birch Smith, who's also competing for a starting job. It could be Mike Montgomery, who, you know, they're trying to look at short now out of the bullpen, but certainly would be a guy who gives them length as a longtime starter. So it's very interconnected. It's still, you know, almost a full month to go, but it's only going to get more interesting from here.
Certainly a work in progress as we go forward. The other works in progress, the injuries. John Jaso gets back on the field today. Nick Franklin was back on the field yesterday, and he looked health-wise, he looked fine. Brandon Guyer is certainly an important piece going forward, at least against lefties, and he right now is sidelined.
Yeah, you know, Brandon Guyer, he's trying to say it's more of a lat strain than an oblique strain. Oblique is usually a bad word around baseball players, especially in spring training. So, you know, another guy they're going to take it slow with. He just did some rotational work on Monday. You know, he hasn't been on the field since Friday when this happened to him during batting practice. So, you know, a week for a position player isn't that big a deal, especially this early. But anything more than that, then you have to wonder about how quickly he can get caught up as well and how limited he might be.
Speaking of, you know, obliques or lat strains or whatever you want to call them, it seems year by year, and you've been covering baseball since, you know, since before the Rays officially started, but they seem to be on the rise in terms of the injuries. You know, Escobar, who used to be with the Rays, had one. Josh Reddick, I know, is now out with one. Matt Joyce had a side injury a couple days ago. It seems like the further we go, the more these seem to crop up.
It's these baseball players trying to be too fit, Neil. They need to stick to the sports writer program. I mean, you start coming to camp in shape with all these guys and, you know, working with these trainers and bodybuilders and stuff, and there's no room, there's no body fat here. So maybe they just need to spend a little bit more time hanging out during the winter. You know, in all seriousness, I do think, though, guys are coming to camp in shape, but they're coming, you know, they work out so much that, you know, maybe they're not allowing for those natural movements that you start doing all of a sudden when you get to spring training.
Working on the John Kruk program or the sports writers program, I guess, is good either way. In terms of some of the things that came out this week, you had a great feature on Sunday with Steven Souza Jr., really highlighted his transformation as an individual, would it be fair to say?
I think so. I mean, you know, you don't, you know, you think you know a guy after you talk to him for a while and you talk to his family and talk to his wife, talk to his dad, talk to several people with the Nationals, talk to a couple of his friends, Travis Snyder and Brent Lillibridge. So talk to a number of people about him, and you know, you think you get a feel for the story, and certainly it sounds like a remarkable personal transformation. This was a guy who was very blunt, very open, talking about many of his faults and flaws early in his career and some of his bad personal habits, and how he's really, you know, by first through faith and then also basically on refocusing his career a little bit, he's really propelled and escalated himself over the last couple of years, and obviously he's going to be a huge part for the Rays.
And we had him on Countdown to Opening Day last week, and he was just as open and forthright, and he seems like a guy that's certainly going to be easy to root for. Obviously, it looks like he's got a good chance to nail down an outfield spot in the spring, and the same goes at another corner for Desmond Jennings. You know, Kevin's talked very openly this week about him playing left field, and at least early on in spring training, he looks like he's swinging the bat fairly well and playing a pretty good left.
I think so. He had a little glitch on Monday, a fly ball it looked like he should have caught that he ended up dropping. But, yeah, he's definitely been swinging the bat well. And, you know, I think there's a little bit of a, you know, psychological mind game that the Rays maybe, or not, shouldn't even say mind game, but, you know, psychologically, they just want to throw it out there. They just want him to not worry about being the leadoff guy in the past. Just take the approach he's going to be hitting in the middle of the order. Go out there and swing the bat. You know, if he gets on base and wants to run, great. If he just wants to hit the ball out of the park, great. They just want Desmond Jennings to be a hitter right now, not worry about a certain type of hitter.
Minor league camp is about to open. I would assume that means with an off day next Monday that we're probably in line to start seeing numbers reduced in camp, or with some of the guys banged up and the split squad on today, do we see guys hang around maybe a little bit longer than expected?
Usually the key to that, Neil, I'll give you some veteran reporter advice here, is find out what day is meal money day, and usually the cuts are made the day before. That's kind of how it tends to work. So, yeah, I think certainly through today's split squad game, it wouldn't be a surprise if by the end of this week, though, you see this roster trimmed up a little bit.
It'll be interesting to follow that and what's to come from Mark Topkin of the Tampa Bay Times. Again, continue to read him. Continue to follow him on Twitter at @TBTimes_Rays. Mark, thanks for a few minutes, and you're not splitting up on Tuesday. We'll see you today in Port Charlotte.
Absolutely, Neil.
That's Mark Topkin of the Tampa Bay Times in a segment we like to call From the Press Box. As we discussed, each week we get to uncover the intriguing stories in spring training. Many of them are featured on our blog at raysradio.mlblogs.com, where we also post news and notes throughout the day. You can also follow me on Twitter at Neil Solons or check out at Rays Radio. Now, coming up, we've got great conversations with Luke Maley, Ryan Brett, and Joey Butler, all right after this.
Rays baseball is back at Charlotte Sports Park. Named the number one spring training ballpark by readers of USA Today, the venue features fun for the whole family. Get in on the action with the spring training 3-pack. This great offer allows you to choose any three games and starts at just $39. Plus, you get a commemorative photo ball with each pack purchased. Call 888-FAN-RAYS or visit raysbaseball.com/spring today. Raise up.
Welcome back to our This Week in Rays Baseball podcast. I'm Neil Solons. We chatted with pitchers last week, so this week it's position players. Luke Maley was one of the last invites to spring training in 2014. This year, the catcher is likely to start the season in AAA Durham. It's been a busy year for Luke, and we reflect on that and his growth during our conversation.
It's definitely a world of difference. I think any time that you can go into a situation where you just have had a chance to get your feet wet and have some exposure, and you know, just something as simple as knowing people's names around the clubhouse, it just makes playing out on the field a little bit easier because you're not worried about all the extracurricular stuff going on. So having that opportunity last year certainly helped me, and it's just one of those opportunities that I'm very thankful for, and now it's time to hit the ground running this year.
What did you learn in camp last year that can help you in this year's camp? And also, what do you look to learn from a new from this camp that you didn't maybe take away last year?
Well, I think last year there was, pretty much endless amounts of information that you can pick up on. We had two really veteran catchers last year in Ryan Hannigan and Jose Molina, and I was able to pick their brains pretty much on a daily basis. You learn a lot of things that will help you. You learn some things that maybe aren't necessarily for you. So I think with that being said, just the ability to kind of process information and be able to understand what's going to help you and what's going to make you better, and maybe there's some things that you pick up on that won't necessarily make you better. And then something as simple as just knowing where to be, how to be on time, understanding that being early is on time. Not that I've ever really had a problem with that necessarily, but you just get an appreciation for how dedicated guys around you are. And they're in their mid-30s, some of them. It's a pretty cool experience, and it's fun to be surrounded by guys that you've been watching play baseball for a long time.
You jumped last year from low-A Bowling Green to double-A Montgomery. How was that jump for you, and what did you take away from the experience before finishing in the triple-A playoffs?
I think just to kind of continue what I was saying, it's just the experience of playing with older guys. It's a little bit of a different game. It's a different thought process. Understanding, especially as a catcher, your job is basically to get your pitchers through nine innings as clean as possible and do it in a way that makes them successful and putting them in the best position to be successful. So that aspect was definitely different. You want to cater to them, but you also want to help the team win. And then on top of it, last year was kind of my first year as being the everyday guy, which physically definitely took its toll, but it didn't break me. And that was something I was very excited about moving forward from. I'll be honest with you, I was pumped up that I was able to finish the season on a healthy note, and that's something I hope to continue this year.
Did you do anything different in terms of training, having gotten through your first full season being an everyday guy?
Well, I've always been very big on flexibility. Ever since I got to the University of Kentucky, I kind of knew that was something I was going to need to address. And then with every year that's come, I've realized that I just still haven't put enough emphasis on it. There's still more that I could have done, and that's something that this offseason I really just – I hunkered down and I went as hard as I could with flexibility and getting my legs as strong as possible without, becoming a muscle head or whatever the term is for it. But this is just another year where if I can continue to maintain what I did in the off season, I think I'll have an even better shot of staying healthy or at least healthier. It's never going to be perfect, but you just strive for it. And I feel like I'm in a good position to do that this year.
Part of that includes yoga. So when did you start yoga? How often do you do it? Do you do it only off-season, regular season, a combination of both, and what does it include?
Well, I was introduced to yoga. My mom's actually taught yoga for a while, but I guess I just wasn't comfortable enough with myself when I was a teenager to really get into it. But when I got to Kentucky, I was introduced to it. We had to do it. The pitchers and catchers had to do it in the off-season. And at first, it was just kind of okay. I wasn't very good at it, so I think I shied away from it. But the more I got better at it and the more I tried it, and then got to pro ball where nobody was forcing me to do it, and I still wanted to do it. And it's not something that I do, I don't take classes or anything like that, but pretty much every day this off season and every day in the season for sure, it's just right when you wake up, 15 minutes of a couple poses, It helps your breathing, it helps you think better, and obviously it makes your body feel better, and it's something I'm going to continue to do for the rest of my life, guaranteed.
You got the other catchers catching on to that? Or?
Well, I know that Kirk Casale's very big on it. I know that a lot of catchers around the league really have bought into it, especially in the past, 10 years or so. I remember reading an article probably when I was 15 about it, and like I said, I didn't really buy into it at the time, but I remember hearing about it a lot at the big league level just from different articles I was reading. I know Kurt's big on it. I know that some of our minor league guys do it. I haven't really had a chance to ask any of our guys here if they do it or not. It just hasn't come up, but I know that flexibility is a really big point of emphasis with every single guy behind the plate.
It's not the natural point of conversation. I know when we spoke to you last year, you also were engaged. Congratulations. I know you got married in the off season. What does that mean? Or tell us a little bit about getting married, and has it changed a little bit?
You know what? The relationship's the same. It's always growing. I couldn't be happier with my wife Paige. She's doing well up in Boston. She's got her job going, and she's helped decorate our apartment. No thanks to me, but it's been a really really fun process. I'm excited to have her come down a few times this year, and you know, it's just part of growing up, I guess. It's just another chapter that we're starting here together, and you know, hopefully I can hit the ball a little bit for her this year.
You miss her, I'm sure, but you don't miss where you were. How much snow was there in Massachusetts?
It's unlike anything I've ever seen. People, if you're listening, you're from the Northeast this past offseason, you know what I'm talking about. It was crazy, but I've never seen snow get removed off streets so efficiently and quickly. It was pretty impressive. It was an unbelievable change from what I'm used to when I think of snow.
And it followed you to Kentucky?
Yeah. I came down to Lexington to say hi to all my Kentucky coaches and things like that. And within about 12 hours I was there, we got another foot and a half. And that was the biggest snowstorm they've had in a long time. So, yeah, I guess I'm just bad luck or something.
What goals? You've obviously had some good fortune, too, though, with the AA success last year, obviously getting married in the off season. What do you set as your goal for yourself this year personally?
Yeah, I've never really been a goal-oriented person, but I'm a very process-oriented person, and I know that the way my career has gone, I've always just kind of stay in the moment, and it's worked for me. So I think this year it's just about controlling what I can control, continuing to have good at-bats, continuing to manage a pitching staff, and just trying to play my butt off every day. I know that if I can play hard every day, good things are going to eventually happen for me.
That's Luke Maley, who met his wife Paige when she was a 50-50 girl in a New York Wood Bat League, a modern-day summer catch. And just like the movie, Maley now is hoping to not be too far from catching on with the Rays. Well, the same applies with Ryan Brett, who also is a likely player for AAA Durham. The road is a unique one for Brett, who has only one kidney, just like Trevor Hoffman. Brett also has a connection to Dustin Pedroia. You'll hear about that too, but first, we discussed making the Rays 40-man roster for the first time.
It was funny because my parents were, you know, they were going crazy. You know, they knew it was a deadline for all the 40-man players, like, you know, to be put on at that time. I got a call from Mitch, and I was actually going to yoga class, you know, after yoga, I rushed home, you know, so I could tell my parents before they found out for themselves, I tried to get there before, and I ended up beating them home, and, you know, they're all freaking out, you know, so it was funny, but I ended up telling them, you know, and they're relieved that I was on the 40-man, and, you know, I was just excited to be, you know, part of the 40 guys on MLB roster. So, you know, it was an exciting moment for me and my family.
You mentioned yoga. When did you start doing it, and how are you using it to help you grow as a ball player?
I started doing yoga just last year, mostly for my shoulder, just to get some flexibility and hopefully prevent it from subluxing again like it has the last couple of years. So also just getting flexibility, you know, especially for my legs, for running, you know, stealing bases. So I think it'll be beneficial for myself.
Your background is unique. You're a player who has just one kidney. Tell our fans how it came that you got into that situation from a medical standpoint and how it impacts you day to day.
Well, actually, it just, I don't know. I mean, it happened, started getting pain in my side like years ago and never really could put a finger on what it was. And, went to the doctors multiple times and they just told me it was a strained muscle, you know, just give it a week and you'll be fine. And, so, you know, years pass and, you know, same thing, you know, a couple times a year, it'll come and go, you know, pain will stay for about a week and then it'll subside and go away and then I'll be fine for a while. And then it just kept reoccurring, you know, and I knew it had to be like a problem, you know, within the body. So, you know, finally I was actually in instructs and pain started again, and it was pretty bad this time. So, you know, I came into the trainer's room and I was like, hey, like, I think we need to get this thing checked out. So they got me into a doctor and got it all, you know, taken care of. And, you know, they said I had the ureter was too narrow, so it couldn't drain properly. And also it was causing pain and it didn't function properly, only function 11%. And so they just said it was best to just have it removed. And ever since, I mean, I feel better than ever. No more pain in my side, no more swelling, and I feel great.
Is there any medication you have to take? Are there any limitations? I know that the only major league player I know of that played with one kidney is Trevor Hoffman, who, of course, one of the best relievers the game's had.
No, actually, you know, they just told me to, you know, try to stay away from alcohol as much as I can. And also, like, painkillers and stuff, just stuff that goes through the kidney just so, you know, I can keep my kidney as long as possible because I only have one left. So I got to take care of it and, you know, hopefully, you know, last the rest of my life. So
you're a unique individual in that regard. And I look at your stature. You're not a big guy. In fact, I look at you from a body standpoint. You remind me of a certain second baseman for the Boston Red Sox and Dustin Pedroia. Did I hear this right? Did you actually have a conversation with him before you decided to join the Rays through the draft? Did Arizona State recruit you? And in essence, you got to talk to Dustin?
Yes, that is correct. It was funny, the head coach of Arizona State at the time, he came down for a visit and to meet with me and all that. And he actually gave me Dustin Pedroia's number and gave him a call and talked to Dustin about, you know, ASU and how he enjoyed his time there at ASU, and just asked him about their baseball club and all that kind of stuff. So I ended up giving him a call, you know, and he was someone that I kind of looked up to, you know, back in the day because, you know, he was where I wanted to be, obviously. And, I mean, he was, you know, he played the – I think he plays the game hard, you know, the right way. I like how he plays. I like how he carries himself. So, yeah, I thought it was fun to get to talk to Dustin.
Is that who you want to be? I mean, is that when people watch you, do you hope to be a player like that? You're a right-handed batter. You're a second baseman. You rely on speed. You've got a little pop, too. You've been a 300 hitter in the minors.
Yeah, I mean, I just want to, you know, I just want to play hard every day. You know, I want to go out there and I want to try to help my team win as much as I can. And, you know, I think that's how Dustin kind of goes about his business as well. You know, he plays hard, and that's how I want to do. That's how I want to be. I want to play hard and, you know, hopefully help my team get to a championship one day.
Have you had any talks with him since? And if not, are you kind of looking forward to when the Rays play the Red Sox and hopefully at least seeing him again?
Yeah, no, I haven't talked to him since, but, you know, hopefully I'll get to converse with him again someday.
Your beard might be a little bit better than it is right now. When did you decide to grow it, and how long are you going to keep it?
Well, it's funny because me and my buddies in the off season, we always like to grow out our beards and go hunting and fishing. You know, go out in the woods. So, you know, I didn't play any ball this off season for like winter ball. So, I just decided to grow it out and. I never thought I could get it to the length it's at right now, so I was coming into spring training. My parents were hounding me to shave it, and I was like, you know, like I'm gonna keep it for a little bit. You know, I want to see how long I can get it before I have to shave it. So, yeah, it's going strong right now. I wanna see how long I can get it before I have to shave it off. So,
heat doesn't bother it?
No, you know, it's not too bad. It gets a little hot in there, but. Until it gets too hot, I might end up shaving it off before. But
you mentioned hunting. Sean O'Malley used to be in this organization. Did you guys actually practice with a bow and arrow sometimes in the minors out on the field a little bit?
Yeah, we actually we would go down on the field before practice. We'd get to the field early, and he had a target. We'd set it up out in the field, and we'd go shoot out there, and it was fun. I also gave me a call in the off season after that season, and he invited me to come along on a fishing trip with him and his brother for a steelhead tournament out in the Tri-Cities where he's from. So that was a lot of fun. I was happy to go down and see O'Malley and get to hang out with him down in the Tri-Cities and go fishing with him. So it was fun.
As a player, what are you hoping to get out of this camp?
I'm just looking to, you know, take talk with these big league guys and see what I can, you know, see what I can learn from them. And I just want to have fun. You know, I just want to have fun and soak up, you know, everything I can out of this camp. I'm just happy to be here. You know, so it's a neat experience for me. It's all new. And you know, I just want to learn from the older guys and see how they carry themselves on and off the field.
That's Ryan Brett, a lifetime 300 hitter in the minors with 134 steals and a better than 350 on base percentage. Joey Butler has pretty good numbers too, especially in AAA, and he's the only player in camp who played with now manager Kevin Cash. It's something that I asked Butler about, along with his experience last year playing for the first time in Japan.
It was an experience. It was a little different style of baseball, but overall, I enjoyed it. I took in what I could and tried to learn as much as I could while I was over there from the Japanese players, and you know, I think I benefited from it.
What was the hardest adjustment to it? Was it the language, the culture, the different style of baseball?
Yeah, I think just the style of baseball was the most difficult part. A lot of small ball as opposed to here in America. I think it's more of a power style of baseball where you drive gaps and hit home runs. And over there is more about more fundamental, getting the guys over from second, getting them in from third, taking extra bases and, you know, really playing hard.
There are some guys who experience it and say they want to do it several more times or spend several years out there. There are some guys who are happy to get back to the States. Which kind of category did you fit in?
Well, nothing can beat the comfort of playing here in the States, you know, being around guys in the clubhouse that you can actually talk to and, you know, build a relationship with. But it was quite the experience. I love baseball and, you know, I just enjoy it wherever I'm at.
Jeff Beliveau had told me he was on that Japanese All-Star tour and talked about some of the foods, the different things he tried. What did you try over there? And I know as someone growing up in the South, there's probably a little bit different style of food, et cetera.
Yeah, a lot of noodles, rice, seafood. The food really doesn't stick out to me as much. The place where I was, Osaka, was pretty Americanized, and you know, I was able to find a couple places that actually made American food.
What led you to pick the Rays when she became a free agent, and how many other teams were involved?
Once I realized that Cash was going to be the manager, the Rays immediately became a top priority for me. I'm not sure how many teams were out there, but I know from playing with Kevin that he's an awesome guy and a great person to play for.
You are the only guy who's in camp who actually played with Kevin. So walk us back to 2011. That was the last team that he played for before he began his coaching and now managing career. What was it like? What do you remember about him most?
I remember him being a great clubhouse guy and actually being a manager on the field. I think that he was one of the more knowledgeable, if not the most knowledgeable guy in the clubhouse, including the coaching staff. He's just talking to him. He knew so much about the game, and he thought. I remember him thinking ahead, like he would know what he was gonna do if this happened, if we still had the lead in the seventh, eighth, and ninth, and you know, I would almost wonder why coaches would go out to the mound. I think it was more beneficial when he went out there by himself.
What? So at the time, I guess you're not surprised that 4 years later, he's the youngest manager in the four major pro sports.
No, it doesn't surprise me. I felt like he was that guy to be in baseball for a long time. It actually does surprise me how quick it happened. I didn't think that it would happen this quick, but I'm happy for him, and I have total faith in him that he's the right guy.
As a player, our fans probably don't know a whole lot about you because you hadn't played, let's say, in the International League at the AAA level, or they've seen you much in the majors when you've been there because you've been in the other league. What should our fans know about you? Describe yourself as a player.
Oh, well, I play hard. I don't have the most power, but, you know, I can say that I'll go up there and battle and try to do my job and do whatever it takes to help this team win.
Good luck in this camp. Great to meet you, and enjoy your stories about Kevin.
Thank you.
Who knows? With an impressive start to the spring, we may see him sometime with the Rays. A reminder, we have daily interviews on our blog, raysradio.moblogs.com. Now this Thursday, Dave and Andy are back at Hooters in Port Charlotte for the next Countdown to Opening Day show from 7 to 8 o'clock. That show will be posted as well as a podcast on Friday if you happen to miss it. Again, read our blog, raysradio.mlblogs.com, and follow us on Twitter at RaysRadio or me at Neil Solons. Thanks for joining us. I'll talk with you next week.
Thank you for listening to the This Week in Rays Baseball podcast. For more on the Rays this offseason, visit our blog at raysradio.mlblogs.com or follow us on Twitter at RaysRadio.